Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to get things started with a few quick announcements today. Middle school, high school, we'll meet today at 5 o'clock. We're going to have some fun today and plan for a Christmas party next week. Also, kids ministry meet today at 5 as well. But don't want to forget, tonight we got business meeting at 6:30. So come out and be a part of that this evening. Then also coming up on December 20th, we've got our Candlelight Communion service at 6:30 p.m. that Wednesday night. It's always a wonderful time and a beautiful service. So come out and be a part of that as well on that Wednesday night. So this coming Wednesday will be our last regular Wednesday morning Bible study and Wednesday night kids ministry and Bible study, because the following week is communion service, and the following week is between Christmas and New Year's. The school's out. We kind of take a week off right there with everybody. A lot of people still getting together for Christmas and different things throughout that week, so we'll be out that week and kick everything right back off in January. So be ready to go. So all that going on right now. Does anybody else have any quick announcements about upcoming events? Okay. If not, then I want to turn our attention to our prayer request quickly this morning. Marlene's back. Feeling good? And praise the Lord. Got a great report on Zach. They put in some other veins, and they checked yesterday. They checked again this morning. Blood is flowing great, and he's doing fine. Had a 6-hour surgery, so praise the Lord, he's come through that. Still got a road to recovery, but good reports, good news on what went on there for him. So praise the Lord for that. Mindy's grandma Phyllis has kind of been under the weather here this last week or two. Mindy's been under the weather for the last week, so keep her in your prayers as well. She's been fighting this cough and everything. And then Jacob Brown, going through cancer treatments, got good news. He's doing better as well. And then Suzette texted me yesterday, the young girl that we've been praying for that was going through cancer treatments as well, finished up, and everything is great. So we want to thank the Lord for that as well this morning. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning we want to update on or add to our prayer list?
Good to have the Brownings with us this morning.
Yeah. Brian and Ruth sitting back here again this morning. Brian filled in last week down in Kentucky, but, so it's also an opportunity for him. And then Dorothy Hadley's out this morning. I want to keep her in your prayers as well. So.
Travel mercies for a friend of mine.
Okay. So remember, Carolyn's friends, as they're traveling. We got several out today with different things going on, so we want to remember them in our prayers. Anyone else have any other prayer requests this morning? Not that at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer's service today. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for another opportunity to gather in your house today. Lord, we just pray this morning that you just be with us as we go through this service. Lord, as we lift up our voices in praise unto you through song and through the message, Lord, today, and through testimony, Lord, and everything else that goes on today. But at the same time, we ask your Holy Spirit to touch these prayer requests that have been made. Lord, that you would just watch over them and be with them, Lord, today, and touch them in a special way. Lord, there are many more that are upon our hearts that were not mentioned. We ask that you watch over them as well, Lord, today, and touch them. Lord, just be with us and guide us this morning through this service. Let your Holy Spirit have its way. In the precious name I pray. Amen.
Right.
we had a lot of fun with that one. A lot of fun. The you know, you can always find something new in the to set apart the Christmas season and the Christmas spirit for you. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The distinctive prophet of the Advent season is Isaiah. Isaiah is called a Bible within a Bible. There's 66 chapters. It predicts the Lord's birth. It predicts his crucifixion. He's a wonderful way of stirring up hope in the people. At the same time, he challenged them to give up their sins and turn back to God. Isaiah spoke to the people about a kingdom of peace, about the steel of swords being turned into blades for plows, and about a coming king who would bring mercy and justice. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah foretold the Lord's coming as no other prophet, and so his words are read throughout the Advent season. We have an advantage over Isaiah. We know Jesus came, and we know he redeemed us by the cross. We treasure the words of Isaiah each Advent because he reminds us to prepare the way of the Lord. He redeemed us by the cross. Jesus is going to come again in the fullness of time, and God's glory will be revealed once and for all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this Advent season. We thank you, Lord, for seeing us as something of worth, something to come and save. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything that you do for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would remind us daily to be mindful of how you fit into everything in our lives, and especially this time of year. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You can always plan on something out of the mouths of children to start off your Sunday right. This morning I was getting ready, and I do like the Christmas colors, and I was in the bathroom, you know, checking my collar and checking my hair, and one of mine came in and said, "Mama, you really got some nice clothes. Your clothes are pretty, even if your face isn't. Your clothes are pretty. Your face is old." So I thought, well, I can't get to church fast enough and share that one. I won't mention his name. Oh, you right out of the mouth, here comes the truth. Take your hymnals this morning. what did I do with my paper? Ah, there it is. Turn to page 132. Angels We Have Heard on High. First and last verse. right a couple of pages, 136, the first Noel, first and last verse. Chorus, Emmanuel, 1, 3, 4. Amazing grace. Let's stand. We'll start on our praise hymns this morning.
So much stronger, the King of Glory. holds my breath. It's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me.
Is she going to be, Mike? You never did tell me.
I'm already in enough trouble.
There's a wise man there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the joyous feeling that the praise hymns and the Advent music give us. Lord, we look so forward to the day of your coming. Lord, we anticipate great things. And such a feeling of victory as we leave this place every week. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything that you do for us, for the health, the safety, and the prosperity you've poured out upon us. Lord, we give you thanks. We've come to a time in our service, we give back to you a portion of what you give us. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We can't out-love you. We can't out-give you. We just ask you to bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. We ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank everyone for the tithes and offerings. The kids are ready for Children's Church. Ms. Kim's back here this morning. Thank everyone for the tithes and offerings this morning. You know, appreciate everyone being here. As I was getting ready to, my son Marilyn says, can you top that? I don't think I can. I mean, just a joy to see them kids getting into singing those songs and having fun. And I tell you, it's a blessing to watch them, you know. But I'm looking forward to the rest of the service this morning. You know, Advent season is here. You know, we're getting close to Christmas. Last week we talked about hope. Today we're going to talk about peace. You know, as the Advent candle was lit earlier this morning, when you think about peace, everything's just nice and the way it's supposed to be, right? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not much for a lot of this Black Friday holiday shopping with all the traffic and the chaos. I have, over the years, done some of that. Stood in those long lines and waited for certain things and different stuff going on. But how is it when you stand in that? Now, I've never been one to go get in line at 10 o'clock the night before and stay there all night. That's not me. I mean, I've gotten in lines, but it's not sitting there overnight. Can you imagine, though, some of you may have done that, but when time finally came for the doors to open, all that nice, peaceful standing in line, talking to different ones and everything turned into shouting and shoving to try to get in the door first, didn't it? All the peace and quiet was gone. It became chaos. It became, you know, a scene that was so crazy. Sometimes it doesn't just play out. It just plays out all across the United States. Got to get in the door to get that big deal. That's only available first thing in the doors open. Newsflash. I had a friend of mine whose wife used to work at Target. They lined up in front of Target for Black Friday special like that one year. She says they were there by 8 o'clock Thursday night, lining up to get this TV that was on special. Whole pallet full of them right there at the front of the store when you came in the door. They were grabbing TVs off that pallet and headed for checkout. She said 4 hours later, when the traffic finally cleared out enough, they rolled out the second pallet of TVs. She says there were two more yet back in the storeroom. All that craziness and going nuts when you could have walked in there 5 hours later, picked the TV up off the stack and walked to the checkout and stayed out of the chaos. But how is it that the joy and peace of the Christmas season oftentimes becomes the anger and frustration in the human spirit? How do we go from wanting that joy and peace to all of a sudden it's anger and frustration? You know, every one of us wants to have peace at Christmas, right? Every individual wants to experience that. Every family wants to, but sometimes because of conflict or frustrations or disappointments, peace is not what's present. Chaos is what happens sometimes. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah this morning, chapter 9, in fact, verses 6 and 7. But much of the Bible is written by people today who found themselves in the midst of conflict or in the midst of a struggle. And in fact, a lot of the Old Testament is the story of how people of God who were under siege or by surrounding nations or they were exiled or enslaved. But the Old Testament writers today were often crying out to God for God to bring peace. They were asking God for help. In Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, we're going to read verses 6 and 7 there. Isaiah basically writes up to God, and he's talking to him, and God gives him these words. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, then forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Promise of God that is penned there this morning in the book of Isaiah is for a coming ruler that would usher in a government that will have no end. Child born, a son, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. This was not a reality at the time Isaiah wrote this. This was a prophecy. But for us, it's happened, hasn't it? Christ has come. We are now awaiting the return of the day of Christ. It's no secret that we live in a time where there's very little peace around us a lot of days. I mean, you turn on the news for just a few minutes and see that all around the world there's a struggle today, and there's pain everywhere. There's different things going on. We see it in some places, in these third world countries, lack of food, lack of water, lack of shelter. A reminder today that we live in a very broken world and that we are very blessed to live where we do, aren't we?
Amen.
When I took my trip to Honduras in 2018, we followed a little path, not more than about 2 foot wide, through the grass, up to the top of this beautiful bluff, and I'm overlooking this beautiful valley down through there, and there was a home where this young boy and his younger brother and older brother and his wife and child and his older sister and her two kids all lived. Their parents had passed away. I walked into their home, a 10 by 10 at the most room, was the only part of the home that had a dry roof on it and that was totally enclosed. The rest of it was kind of falling down over there. The kitchen's outside, the bathroom's outside. All of them slept in that 10 by 10 room together on blankets on the dirt floor. No electricity, no running water, no TV, no cell phones. I come home from Honduras, the kids say, "What was it like?" I said, "You live in a mansion." They go, "No, we don't." I said, "Oh, yes, you do." When you see something like that, it reminds you just how blessed today we are. But what I saw in the faces was those of smiles of a family that was happy. And they were so thankful for any little thing that they were given. So blessed. But those things remind us today that we do live in a broken world. But we also look around our own country and we see things happening. Families with people at odds with one another. Chaos in our own country, right? Division throughout everything. Whether it's here or whether it's there, we can really relate today to the people of God in the book from the time of the Old Testament with their desire for someone to bring peace. For someone to rule over them who was going to bring peace to their brokenness and healing today to where they were at. We long to see peace come to this world, don't we? And we long to see God fulfill His promise of the Christ returning one day. But I love the story in part of Luke chapter 2 where as the Christ child is born, it says that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In a field outside of Bethlehem, there's a group of shepherds tending to their flock. Middle of the night, and the glory of the Lord shows up. Now, when we think shepherds, a lot of times we think Christmas, we think shepherds. We're thinking about the cute little boys, right? Taking care of this little flock of sheep with a staff and a sheep wrapped around, and a sheet wrapped around them or a cloak. Let me tell you, the shepherds of back then were anything but little and cute. Get that idea out of your mind. Don't think. Shepherds back then were seen as some of the lowest of the low in Jewish society. They were a nomadic group, it says, who often lived off the grid, traveled to find pasture for their sheep to graze in. Most of them were single young men without children. And they were not very clean. They probably did not smell very good either. You ever spent much time in a barn, and you spend quite a bit of time out there, you eventually begin to smell like said barn. Especially if you had a hog farm over the years. That's hard to get that smell out. These guys were not pretty. These guys were not clean. These guys were blue collar who worked hard to earn a living. The lowest of the low in Jewish society. They were considered second class and untrustworthy. And yet, what happens when a Christ child is born? These are the first people to hear the announcement. They're the first ones to find out the Savior's been born. So, there's a sense from the very beginning of the Christ child being born, the story of Christmas that we know with the story of hope and peace and joy and love that arrive with the birth of Christ. It's not just for the powerful and the perfected people. It's not those who think they're deserving. The child is born for everyone, everywhere. The peace of Christ is for everyone. The peace that comes from his leadership and rule is not for the ones who are already in power. It's for the ones today, it says, who are scratching and clawing just to make it another day. If you don't feel like you're worthy of the peace today of God that is found in Jesus, just know you're in good company. Right? But this peace is for everybody. The angel appears to these men out in the fields. Their first response is absolute terror. What else would it be, right? You're sitting out in the field watching over your flock by night, and all of a sudden, boom, the glory of God shows up. I think God might be hiding too. They're fearful because the glory of God shines around them in the dead of night. I could imagine how bright this was and what was going on. They're sitting there probably half dozed off to sleep, making sure nothing's going on, and all of a sudden, boom, lights come on. It must have been an overwhelming experience, but I love when you look back at that, what's the first thing the angel tells them? Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. First word spoken over to shepherds. And I believe today those same words today are spoken to us today, each and every day when we spend our time with the Lord. Do not be afraid. You may be facing a painful situation. You might be facing an unfavorable diagnosis with something going on medical-wise. You may be struggling to restore a relationship, whatever it is. You may be anxious about the circumstances that are around you and what's going to happen today, what's going to happen tomorrow. But let me tell you, the Bible says, do not be afraid. Don't be scared. Preacher, that's easy for you to say. Well, here's why. Because that angel who brought the good news of great joy to the shepherds brings us the same good news and good joy. And see, that peace that comes from Christ should help us each day to realize we don't have to be afraid. You ever get anxious when someone comes to you and says, I got good news and bad news? Then they go, which one do you want to hear first? Well, a lot of times I want to answer them, I only want to hear the good news, forget the bad news, right? But as one guy told me, he says, well, I tend to want the bad news first, he says, so I can hang on to the good news when the conversation's over. Maybe you could use some good news today as well, because maybe life's been a struggle here this week. Maybe things have happened, things have not been right. You know, but in the arrival of Christ, we're given this good news and this peace. But here's the thing today. The whole underlying message to this today is God has not forgotten you. He never has. He never will. So when you're in the midst of a struggle, when you're in the middle of conflict, you don't know what's going on, remember that God is in charge. Christ is King. The one you've been waiting for has arrived. He has come. He has brought peace to your life. Peace is not the absence of conflict, though. Peace is the presence today of God. The peace that Christ brings into our lives isn't necessarily the absence of trouble. It's instead today, it says the confidence that we are not alone. The kind of peace that comes from the fulfilled promise that took place all those years ago. It is the presence of God in our lives, in our hearts. There's a story today that says that long ago a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. And paintings arrived from far and wide. It says, finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew. Only two pictures remained unveiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was going to win, right? But it says the man with the vision uncovered a second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peaceful? Well, that painting was a picture of a waterfall cascading down a rocky mountainside. It says you could almost feel the cold, penetrating spray of the waterfall. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises, the bitter chill, this scraggly little tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the tormented waters, hanging very low, seeking to experience almost the waters pushing it over. And a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch, out over top of the water. And inside of that nest, she rested on her eggs with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones. She manifested peace that transcended all the turmoil around her. You see, peace can be experienced in the midst of chaos. When we recognize that peace is not about our circumstances, it's about the one today who is faithful to walk with us even when the most difficult circumstance arises. Can you picture that waterfall? With that tree growing out of the rocks and that branch right over top the edge of the waters and that little bird's nest. But yet, that bird was at peace. She didn't look at the circumstances around her. That first Christmas morning, the angels brought good news. A child had been born in the city of David, and he will be a better king who will rule and bring peace. Luke is borrowing today from Isaiah, where it references that in the scriptures, and keying in on a time when the nation today of Israel knew peace. The angel was referring to a time when David was king. Some might call it the good old days, right? We talk about the good old days, don't we? Oh, I can remember a time when this was going on, when all this wasn't happening, when we didn't have to worry about this or worry about that. The good old days, wasn't it? Told my kids the other day, I said, I'd go back to living when I was about 11 or 12 years old. Dad had 13 acres on the back of a dead-end road. Let me tell you, those were the best years of my life. Why? There was no traffic. There was no cell phone. I had an Atari for a video game when Nintendo got out. I was behind. But what I had was, the time he bought that, at that point he owned everything else on that side of the road. I had 80-something acres of woods to roam and a bicycle. And me and a neighbor boy, we roamed those woods. We had fun. Life was quiet. Life was peaceful. Life wasn't chaotic. It was fun. The good old days, right? I often told them too. I said, you know, we went to town. Mom went to the grocery store once a week. If we forgot something, guess what? You got it the next Friday when you went to town. And we would go somewhere, and we'd come back home, and if somebody called, we missed the call because we didn't have an answering machine. They didn't have a cell phone to call me in the middle of what I'm doing now to change my plans as I'm driving home today, right? You made your plans, you got done what you had to do, and you went home, right? Life was simpler, wasn't it? See, the Israelites remembered a time when peace today, of when David was ruling. But this time, this was going to be something even better than when David was king. This time, the baby who was found in the manger today, wrapped in cloth today in the city of David, was the God today of the universe who had come to this world to live among them, who was going today be that Prince of Peace, that Lord of Lords, mighty God, everlasting Father today, wonderful Counselor. He was going to be all these things. As soon as the announcement was made, the good news inspired singing. It says, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to among men. The song ends by saying, peace will come to those on whom God's favor rests. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that when you become a Christian, you give your heart to God, you have that peace of God that comes into your heart? Why do we worry then? Why are we afraid of things when they come our way? Why? Because Satan today wants you to worry, doesn't he? He wants you to be afraid. See, God's favor today comes from being at peace with God. The story of the Bible, and that Bible reveals that the most important place where we need to experience peace is not within the relationships and the circumstances around us. The greatest need for peace is between us and God. When we have peace in our hearts today because we're at peace with God, that peace today surpasses everything. The book of Romans tells us that the rule that governs over us must be the... says the rule that governs over most us most is the rule of sin, and it stirs chaos and conflict within us. But it says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. When we find ourselves lost today in the middle of whatever's going on and in the chaos, and at odds against God, when we don't submit to Him, when we don't accept Him as Lord and Savior, when we're at war today with one another and backbiting and carrying on and whatever else goes on, then we're not at peace with God, are we? It says most of the time when we're not, when sin enters our life, when conflict enters, when things are going bad, it's because we're not at peace today with God. I've talked to people before and they go, well, I don't have a problem. It's him or it's her. They're the problem. We are quick to point the finger to somebody else, aren't we? When we're at peace with God, conflict doesn't bother us. The old saying, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. When you're at peace with God, that's true. When I first started officiating years ago during basketball season, I sat there one time, and his coach was all over me, man, just carrying on nonstop. And I just sat there and just kind of smiled at him. We got done, and the other coach looked at me and goes, "How can you stand here and take that?" I said, "He's mad about the situation. He ain't mad at me. He's mad about what happened out there. That ain't my problem." I said, "He's not yelling at me. He's upset about the situation." I said, "A lot of what these guys say just rolls off my back like water off a duck. Why? Because I don't take it personally. See, the conflict's not with me, is it?" Now, there are some times with some coaches, the conflict is with me. Let's get that straight, right? It does happen. But most of the time, they're upset about the situation. It's the same thing today with people today in our lives. They're not always upset with us. They're upset with what's happened. We just happen to be the one they're venting to. So don't let those words bother you. Don't let those words hurt you to the core and think they're mad at you. They're not. They're looking for someone else today to help them through that situation, to help them find that peace they need in their heart. And when we have favor today, we have God's favor, we are at peace today with God. Birth today of the promised king, the coming today of a new rule for the entire world, a new ruler who was going to make things better. That rule begins inside each and every one of our hearts. That's where that peace starts at, doesn't it? It starts here. When we are at peace with God and in God's favor, that peace starts right here in our own hearts and it radiates to those around us. Because when we're right, the world is better, isn't it? The Christ child, the baby, grew up to be the man. A man who offered himself on a cross for the atonement of our sins. That peace that we find today at Christmas comes from submitting today to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It reorients our hearts. It gets us back in line. It puts us back on a path we need to be on. It puts us on a path today that points right back to that cross. The place where we lay our burdens. The place where we come to God and say, "Lord, I need your help. God, I can't get through this by myself. Lord, help me through this conflict. Help me to not be afraid. Help me to be at peace with what's going on." I used to always laugh when people talk about how do you get through stuff. I watched my grandma get hit with one thing after another. But let me tell you something. That lady's faith was never shaken. Why? Because she was at peace with God. And she knew God was going to get her through it no matter what. Church, God says in his own word, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. In the midst of all those problems, he's right there. Why do we fear? Because Satan wants us to fear. My grandma was a big collector of lighthouses and hummingbirds. When she passed away, we went through everything in the house. We started boxing stuff up. And let me tell you, every little flat of stuff that we got rid of had at least one lighthouse and one hummingbird in it. And I mean, there were hundreds of these flats of stuff. But in her living room always hung that picture of footprints in the sand. I don't know how many times I've read that over the years. But if you've never read it, part of it says, he's talking to Christ. He says, "How is it when I look back on my life, I see one set of footprints?" He says, "My child, during those times, it was then that I carried you. In the midst of conflict, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of things going on in our lives, why do we fear when it's during those times that God carries us through? See, he's brought us a peace of which there is no end. And it's during those times we have to remember that God's going to see us through, because it's at that point God is carrying us through whatever's going on. Do you have a song of invitation this morning? Do you have the peace this morning that comes from God? Is God's favor today in your heart? Are you at peace with God this morning? Maybe it's been a struggle this week. Maybe it's been a struggle this morning to get here. Because let me tell you, Satan would love nothing more than to stop you from getting here this morning. Whatever's going on. Or maybe there's just other things going on in your family or your work or whatever. This morning, as we have a song of invitation, won't you come? Won't you ask God to help you to find that peace this year? Help him to find that peace that gets rid of that conflict, that gets rid of all that worry, all that doubt. And give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, that only comes today from him. This morning, won't you come?
Hymnals, turn to page 438. Cleanse me.
Isn't it wonderful today to know that Christ came today for each and every one of us? He came today that anyone today who would believe, who would surrender their hearts, can have eternal life today through him. You don't have to get to a certain level in life or a certain prestigious point. I mean, church, look what we talked about this morning. The first ones to hear the announcement were the lowliest of the low. Christ came that everyone today could have peace. And when our hearts today are right with God, we find that peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray as you go through this week, God gives you that peace no matter what's going on. Whatever conflict comes up, whatever phone call you receive, whatever happens, that your heart is at peace and you're not worried about what's going to happen. Why? Because God's going to see you through.
Amen.
But don't forget, tonight we've got business meeting at 6:30. Come support that. as we go through a few things tonight. Also, coming up, Candlelight Communion Service on the 20th. If you've never been here for part of that, let me tell you, that is a beautiful and a wonderful service at the end of the year. This sanctuary, by far, is one of the most beautiful I've ever been in at Christmas. We're not done decorating for the communion service yet. We'll have a few more things up, but it's come and be a part of that. Invite friends and family to come be a part of that too. It's for the community. It's not just for our church. But keep that in mind as well. Pray for a prayer request. Be with them. Don't forget, though, invite them to church. Have them come. I didn't announce earlier, but we were in the parade last Sunday. And let me tell you something. Despite the conflict of the van dying twice, we literally get to the high school. We pull up. It had ran out here for over an hour. I turn the van off and get in front of the high school, and I go to start it right back up, see what it's going to do. Click. We had 20 minutes before the parade started. We got it jumped, got it running. We ran the whole parade route. I turned back down First Street, pulled back up in front of, making the turn in front of the high school, and it goes ding, 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 and boom, all the gauges drop. We stop in front of the high school to kind of get all the kids off and see what's going on, and the van just quietly quits running. Had to sit there for an hour before we get somebody in to jump it. We got to start right back up, brought it back over here. It ran out here for 30 minutes, and guess what? I went out there. It started four times in a row. Satan tried. But we were able to hand out over 800 pencils, cards with Christmas Eve service and candlelight communion service on them, 500 tubes of chapstick with a church logo and name on them, and magnets and candy, and we had a blast. And the kids had so much fun throwing candy and chapstick and everything. And Matt had teased them before we left. He said, for anybody, every person you hit in the head with a piece of candy, it's a dollar in the offering plate on Sunday. I think Waylon thought it was a game to see how many times he could hit Matt. But they had a lot of fun. And if just one person comes, the work is all worth it. If just one person comes to know Christ. But I'm looking forward as we go into this holiday season, what the rest of what Christmas is going to have in store for us and what God is going to continue to do in and through this church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Glad to have our visitors with us. People that know me, biggest part of my life, Lisa and Doug Bakenbaker, Mandy's mom and dad. Jordan, pleasure to have you with us this morning. Thank you for being here. Go this week. Invite somebody to church. Have that peace in your heart today. Everything. Yes, dear.
You skipped right over next week is our Christmas play. I've enlisted the young adults, college age kids for the main part of the play, but if you have an elementary kiddo and they would like to dress the part of anything in the nativity, please see me and we will have that ready to go and they can be a part of that. Also, our happy birthday Jesus party will be next week during Sunday school.
All right. Happy birthday Jesus party. It's always a lot of fun. Ice punch, cupcakes, usually and everything. So during Sunday school time downstairs with the kids, that's coming on. So, yeah, kids program next Sunday morning. Oh, what fun. Always a joy to see what they've got going on. But hope you have a blessed day. Thank you all being here this morning. Brother Jerry, just miss your prayer this morning.
Continue to be with us as we live.